So our sermon series, The Seven Last Words of Jesus, continues. And just as a reminder, it's not actually seven words, but it's seven sayings. I was so confused about that for so long in my life. But it's seven sayings of Jesus, all from the cross. And last week we looked at, Father, forgive them, for they know not what they do. And we saw in that the grace of God that is available to us all. So in the Gospel of Luke, which we're still in this week, Jesus has been crucified. He's hanging on the cross, and he's asked for forgiveness. And the next saying is, today you will be with me in paradise. But I think we really do ourselves some disservice if we don't sort of dig into the verses that precede that. So we're going to take a look at Luke 23, 35 through 41, and then we'll look at that, the actual saying of Jesus. So here are these words from the Gospel of Luke. And the people stood by, watching, but the leaders scoffed at him, saying, he saved others. Let him save himself if he is the Messiah of God, his chosen one. The soldiers also mocked him, coming up and offering him sour wine and saying, if you are the king of the Jews, save yourself. There was also an inscription over him, this is the king of the Jews. One of the criminals who were hanged there kept deriding him and saying, are you not the Messiah? Save yourself and us. But the other rebuked him, saying, do you not fear God? Since you are under the same sentence of condemnation, and we indeed have been condemned justly, for we are getting what we deserve for our deeds, but this man has done nothing wrong. Do you recognize those words? If you are the Messiah, if you are the chosen one, I have to think back to Luke 4. Where Jesus has begun his ministry and he goes into the wilderness and he fasts for 40 days and for 40 nights. And when he is at his weakest, the tempter, the devil, shows up and says, if you are the Son of God, turn this rock into bread. I mean, I'm going to make it 40 days, but he had to be hungry. He was tempted by the devil, and he refused. And in the second one, he doesn't use that phrase, if you are the Son of God. But in the third one, he again says, if you are the Son of God, do this. And Jesus does not respond. And he's not tempted. He doesn't buy into it. He responds with Scripture, and the devil actually responds with Scripture. But he never gives in to the temptation. And then we read in Luke 4:13 that the devil left until a more opportune time. The time has come. He's hanging on a cross. He is in pain, more pain than you can imagine. And the people, the very people he has come to save, are tempting him. If you are the Son of God, save yourself. If you are the Messiah, get off that cross and save yourself. The very people that only on Monday were shouting Hosanna, on Friday are tempting him to come down off that cross. And I have to tell you, this is where the gospel of Jesus and the gospel of Mike Tyson in third grade diverge. I remember sitting in my Sunday school class with this big Bible called the Young Reader's Bible. And we're reading that. And I'm really out, really at the first kind of age where I can really sort of comprehend what I'm reading and I'm understanding what's happening. And in my mind, I'm like, well, if you are the Son of God, you need to get off of that cross and smite all of those people with like lasers coming from your eyes. I mean, that's what you would do if you are the Son of God. But fortunately, the gospel of young Mike Tyson did not prevail. And as always, the gospel of Jesus does. And it inures to all of our benefit. That's why Jesus did not come down off that cross. He knew God's will. He knew God's plan. And despite the temptation, he stayed the course. He completed God's will, God's task for him on earth. We see again, Jesus has given us some instructions. Don't give in to temptation. And then he shows us how to do it. He's again an example for us about staying the course with God's will. So the texts that are among the seven last sayings of Jesus is this. It's Luke 23, 42 through 43. And the he here is the criminal. Then he said, "Jesus, remember me when you come into your kingdom." And he replied, "Truly I tell you, today you will be with me in paradise." So we read in verses 39 and 40, that the first section that I read, that there's this whole conversation between the thieves hanging on a cross. And the one is saying, "Yeah, if you're the Messiah, save yourself, and while you're at it, save me." And the smart one, the repentant one, says, "Don't you fear God? I mean, we're receiving our just punishment. But this man has done nothing wrong." So we hear yet again that Jesus has done nothing worthy of a death sentence. The smart thief, the repentant thief, he figured it out. He figured out who this Jesus was, what this Jesus was. All the other people there, really kind of including the disciples, hadn't yet figured out that he is in fact the chosen one, the Messiah, the Christ, the one that has come to save. He says, "Remember me when you come into your kingdom." I mean, he's already sort of confessed his guilt by saying, we are serving our just punishment. We're getting what we deserve. And in this, we have a declaration of faith that Jesus is, in fact, the one. He has figured out what nobody else present at the crucifixion figured out. You know, somebody came to me after the first service and asked the question, how did he, this thief, come to that realization? And I looked at him. I said, "Well, what do you think?" "The Holy Spirit." Absolutely, it was the Holy Spirit that was working on this thief. It's what we Methodists might call prevenient grace, working on him as he is sitting on the cross. He has this revelation that, in fact, Jesus is the one. And Jesus hears these words, or Jesus says these words to that thief when he says, "Remember me. Truly, this day you will be with me in paradise." Can you imagine being a thief that's nailed to a cross in this pain? Can you imagine what reassuring words those must have been? I don't know that that man in that spot could have heard any sweeter words. Today you will be with me in paradise. You know, this whole scene, this whole confession of the thief on the cross and this promise to be with me in paradise this day, it's unique to Luke. All the other gospels talk about the thieves, but this idea of this repentant thief making a profession of faith on the cross, it's unique to Luke. It's something that is important to the author of Luke. In this text, we see that Jesus is, in fact, the Messiah, the chosen one, and that he has the power to forgive. He's claiming this royal power as the Son of God, as the King of Kings. And he has forgiven this man. The one man on the scene who understood who he was. How can we find ourselves in our lives getting caught up with our own lives, our own worries, our own list of things to do, our own agendas, and failing to take into account what God's will is for our lives? How often are we among those who don't really give our whole selves to Jesus? We hold something back because we're not quite sure we want to believe all the way. We can find ourselves being among the crowd, not deriding Jesus necessarily, but failing to recognize who and what he truly is, who and what he can truly do in our lives. You see, all of our failures in that have a little piece of him being on that cross on our behalf. How many times do we choose our own will over God's? Jesus has stayed the course and has again set an example for us as it relates to following God's will. And when the thief says, "Remember me," it's not really a request to be remembered as we think of remembered. We read in the Psalms and we read in the Old Testament that God will remember his people. And really, that's a form of salvation. It's a form of redemption. And when he's asking to be remembered by Jesus, that's what he's asking for, is to be redeemed. And that is a redemption that is available to you, to all of us. And it comes to us through the grace of Jesus Christ. Remember me when you come into your kingdom. Jesus remembers us all and has redeemed us all. And Jesus' response to that request, "Truly today you will be with me in paradise." First off, paradise, we can instantly think heaven, but at the time, paradise was considered a beautiful garden. And it's usually kind of around a ruler's home or where they rule. And one of the great privileges was to be able to go and walk in paradise with this leader. And so we see in this reply to the thief and to us that Jesus is saying, you will walk with me in paradise. It's a reminder for us that Jesus is with us through our entire journey. He never leaves us. He is with us always. And when we enter the church triumphant, when we walk into the gates of heaven, we get to walk with him and talk with him. Like that song, In the Garden. You get to do that with Jesus the Christ, the Savior of the world. I don't know about you, but those are about the most reassuring words I can hear in my lifetime. Today, you will be with me in paradise. Jesus makes it clear that we are special, that we are his. We are the children of God, and there will be this moment where we are with him in paradise. Those words bring such great comfort to my life. And this plea by the thief to remember me isn't really unique to just him. It's a reminder for us that Christ died for the world, that Christ remembers all. He wants to redeem all. Brothers and sisters, we have friends, neighbors, co-workers who have never experienced the love of Christ. That they don't know that redemption is available to all. I mean, in this thief on the cross, what we see is nobody is unredeemable. No matter how late it is in your life, no matter how horrible a human being that you think you have been, God can and will forgive. Redemption is available to all. Period. Hard stop. It is through faith in Christ that we are saved. And when we hear this thief on the cross say, "Remember me," we should be reminded of all of the people who do not know this love and grace and this redemption. And it is an urgent matter. It is a matter of life and death for those that don't know the saving grace of Jesus Christ to experience it. And it starts with us. It can be as simple as just an act of love. It could be as simple as putting groceries in someone's hands. We are the hands and feet of Jesus in this world. He has no hands but yours. He has no feet but yours. He has no mouth but yours. And when we hear that thief say, "Remember me," we should be reminded of all that do not know this grace. All that do not know that no one is beyond redemption. It should be our passion and in our heart to go out into the world, into our community, and share that good news that all can be saved, including you, including me. All who have faith in Christ are saved. Let us pray. Gracious and almighty God, we stand in the shadow of the cross. We feel your pain. But through that pain, redemption comes. Through that pain, we are redeemed and we are forgiven. Jesus, we thank you for your faithfulness. We thank you for all that you have done, that we might be among the redeemed. But Father, there are so many who do not know your grace and your love. Let our hearts burn to go out into the world and to share the good news that none are beyond redemption. Let this church become a place through which your love flows out into this community, through the children, through the parents, through the elderly, through the sick. Father, let your love flow through this world, through this church. We pray this in Jesus' holy name. All God's children said, amen.